Zanechal štúdium na vysokej škole, aby sa stal aktívnym dobrovoľníkom a pomáhal ľuďom v núdzi, ktorí boli zasiahnutí masakrom Hamasu na Izrael. Sledujete 20 minútovku, sme radi, že ste s nami. Hosťom dnešnej 20 minútovky je Chaim Oria, ktorý prišiel na Slovensko priamo z Izraela. Vítaj.
No.
Som veľmi rád, že si prijal pozvanie priamo z Izraela, priamo z centra diania. Čo robíš na Slovensku?
I'm here in Slovakia and also in the Czech Republic and I was in Poland and probably also in Germany. Mm-hmm. Going to schools, giving talks about my point of view and my experience throughout the war in Israel. Mm-hmm. And trying to bring conversation and my point of view to people close to my age in high school.
Dnes sa budeme rozprávať o situácii, ktorá sa stala 7. októbra. Budeme sa rozprávať možno o tom, aká je situácia dnes. Čo si robil počas 7. októbra, keď nastal ten, by som povedal, hnusný a radikálny útok Hamasom na Izrael?
I was with my family at a hotel up north next to Tiberias. Not really connected to the situation, disconnected from my phone, disconnected from the media. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time until I actually understood the severity of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Ako si reagoval?
At first, I was really disconnected emotionally, like kind of like a screen that disconnects me from the situation. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, I got more and more connected and looked for ways to feel more involved and to volunteer more and to feel important to contribute to helping the situation.
Ako to zmenilo tvoj život, táto situácia?
At first, it didn't change too much. It just changed my environment a lot because everybody was completely shocked emotionally. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, it completely changed how I live my life entirely. It made me move my home. It moved out of my home. It made me completely change my lifestyle. And it eventually led up to me building more character and working and volunteering and trying to be significant.
Ty si ukončil vysokú školu a rozhodol si sa, že sa staneš dobrovoľníkom. Prečo?
So in the middle of my high school year, in the middle of my 12th grade, I decided to leave school and to go move in the areas that needed volunteering. I saw how much people in Israel, people who are leaving their families, leaving their wives and their children and their jobs, reservists of the army that go to protect me, that go to serve in the army so I could be safe. And I was thinking, how could it be that they're sacrificing so much and sometimes even sacrificing their own lives for me to be safe, and I'll just continue studying at school like pretending everything's normal. So I understood that I need to find something to do, and I ended up finding in the Gaza envelope some places that I could work in agriculture and gardening. I felt like my regular routine in my regular life was wasted. That during these times, thinking about what I'd tell my children when during this war, I was alive during this terrible war. And if I'd tell my children that, well, people were fighting in Gaza and protecting me, I was studying in school, like not doing anything. So I didn't feel like I was risking my life because I wasn't in really an active war zone. I was close, and you hear the bombs like rattling the windows, and sometimes there's rockets and you go into the safe area or the protected area. But I didn't feel like I was risking my life. It was pretty safe.
Mnoho ľudí tvrdí, že Židia sa moc rozťahujú, že keby ste prestali, bol by pokoj, keby sa ukončila vojna aj z vašej strany, nastal by absolútny mier. Je to správne tvrdenie?
I think, I don't know who says that, but I think it's nonsense. I mean, if Israel lays down its weapon and just says, okay, we're not gonna have a borders, we're not gonna protect them, Israel is gone. Israel can't continue on living without protecting its borders with armed force. On the other hand, if Hamas and the Gazan side decides to lay down their weapons and release all the hostages, the war is over. So that's my view.
Ako je možné, že tak malá armáda, ako je izraelská, zatiaľ nebola porazená, alebo je ťažké ju poraziť aj o mnoho väčšími armádami?
I think it's the same reason why we celebrate Hanukkah and Purim and other holidays that we celebrate, that we survive terrible things and people tried to destroy us, but we continued on to live. And the same reason why we survived the Holocaust, I believe it's because of the Jewish spirit. And some people would even say that God is protecting us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Je život medzi Palestínčanmi a Izraelcami v mieri, v pokoji, alebo je naozaj taký vyhrotený, vyostrený a je tam veľká nenávisť medzi bežnými obyvateľmi?
So, I would say there's a big amount of the population that just wants peace in Israel, that just and it shows in the history of our in our attempts for to compromise for peace, whether it's to give land in 2005 for Gaza, to give Gaza for peace, and whether it's to in the year 2000 to try and make a two-state solution, whether it's the Oslo Accords. There's a big population in Israel that just wants quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the other parts, and significantly after October 7th and the terrible massacres and the horrifying things that we witnessed, the entirety of Israeli society kind of went more right wing. And it's way more difficult right now. And mm-hmm. I think it's very understandable too that in Israeli society, the hope for peace has gone down significantly. And there is hate that has gone up, but mm-hmm. generally between Arabs in Israel and Arabs and Jews living in Israel, the situation is we're continuing to live kind of side by side,
mm-hmm.
and life goes on.
Nemajú problém žiť medzi sebou absolútne vyrovnaný, kľudný a pokojný život. Arabi a Židia žijú vedľa seba a nie je problém?
There are obviously problems. There are still terror attacks on a weekly basis. There, just a few weeks ago, there was a terror attack that killed a pregnant woman on the way to the emergency room outside the settlement in Judea and Samaria called Buchin.
Mm-hmm.
And just also recently was announced that the baby who was was alive then, but also didn't survive. So there are still terror attacks now and then, even after the war started, also inside the borders of Israel. And there is tension, but there is still friendships. And my father, for example, my father has a Palestinian friend who lives in a nearby Palestinian village, and they've been friends for years and years. And that at least gives me hope that there are people that just want to live peacefully and to have a good future side by side.
Ako sa títo vaši priatelia palestínski pozerajú na situáciu, ktorá je teraz? Sú s ňou stotožnení, súhlasia s masakrom, ktorý sa udial, alebo im to je nejako ľúto a nevedia sa s tým stotožniť?
So from what I've heard, and that's only just from my father telling me about speaking to him, he sees it as kind of violence on both sides that needs to stop. And from my father's, from what he's recognized, it seems like the media or the information that it gets to him, even though he's very moderate, the information that gets to him is still very, very one-sided and a lot of false information,
mm-hmm.
meaning a lot of false information about Israel killing its own civilians on October 7th or different things that are very obviously centered and their objective is to make Palestinians mm-hmm. think that Israel is lying or that Israel is making up the massacre of October 7th or other things that
Prečo si to svet myslí? Prečo svet obvinuje z Izraela z veci, ktoré možno nikdy nespáchal?
That's a good question. I think this is just my view from my own limited perspective is that Israel has a lot of power. Israel is really strong and has very high technical and high resources. But on one thing, they're really terrible at, and that is with communicating to the world what we're doing and our justice in mm-hmm. doing it. And on the other hand, the Palestinian side has less resources, has less military capabilities. But on the one thing that they're much better than us in is the propaganda. And they really, really know what is sensitive to Western people. Many things, whether it's race dynamics in the U.S., whether it's colonization for Europeans, and different things that Western people feel bad about about their past, mm-hmm. and they know how to use it to manipulate it to make Europeans or Americans feel very sorry for the Palestinians mm-hmm. In ways that they're very good at manipulating.
Aj tento obsah vám vieme prinášať bezplatne vďaka tomu, že tieto relácie podporujete, šírite a zdieľate a stávate sa tak súčasťou a partnermi tohto projektu. Ďakujeme a pokračujeme v rozhovore ďalej. Ako sa Boh môže pozerať na to, že zomierajú nevinní ľudia, nevinné deti, tehotné ženy, tak ako na to ukazuje svet?
There are things that I would rather not say what God wants and doesn't want because I have no way of knowing the will of God, but I could say that this is a war of protecting the Jewish people and protecting our nation. And like every urban war, there's civilian death, which is terrible, but it's a part of fighting terrorist organization that is using that civilian civilians for their own protection. So the civilians dying is a terrible thing, but I know what I can say is that this is a just war of protecting our own people and fighting for a safe future for our communities and people.
Čiže keby ste sa stiahli z Gazy, nebol by pokoj? Dajte im ten štát, nech v podstate je kľud a nech je mier. Nech majú svoj vlastný palestínsky štát.
So that's a logical way of thinking about it. The problem is that we've tried it. It has been tried already over three times, but 1937, the Peel Commission, an offer for an Arab state alongside a Jewish state, was declined by Arab leaders. 1947, the UN partition plan was also declined by Arab leaders, and it was accepted by Jewish leadership, although it was not ideal, but they were pragmatic. And then the Arab leadership declined, then started what was to be the Israeli Independence War or the Nakba, which is the catastrophe for the Palestinians. And also the year 2000, the Ehud mm-hmm. Barak offer for a Palestinian state, which was also eventually declined by Palestinian leaders. And also the Oslo Accords, which completely crumbled. Mm-hmm. So I would say it has been tried many, many times and failed many times. And for there to be any conversation about a two-state solution or a resolution, there needs to be Palestinian or Arab recognition of the Israeli state and that Israel will stay here and will continue to stay here and exist.
Nerozťahuje sa Izrael moc na území Gazy. Nie je to naozaj genocída tak, ako ju obvinuje svet, že príde na cudzie územie a zabíja aj civilistov.
So I would say, I wouldn't say, I would say it's a fact that for a genocide to occur, a necessary condition is intent. And to me, when people say this, I want to ask, when Israel is publishing evacuation notices for areas or for complete neighborhoods for civilians to evacuate, what is their intent in doing it? Is their intent genocide? I would say the intent is the opposite.
Pozrime sa na to očami sveta, tak ako to vidí svet. Izrael prišiel do Gazy, zablokoval humanitárnu pomoc a vraždí nevinných ľudí, nevinných civilistov.
First of all, about the humanitarian aid, Israel has allowed hundreds and hundreds throughout the war of trucks of humanitarian aid to go into Gaza, both because of international pressure and both because of choices of decision makers. And throughout all the time that Israel allowed trucks to go in, Hamas always took control of these trucks and used it to remain in power, whether it's by selling them for a really, really high amount and to get more resources to improve their fighting capabilities, and whether it's to use the humanitarian aid as incentives for families of people who join Hamas. So a 17-year-old who has a family and wants his family to survive and to have food on the table, well, his way to ensure that is with joining Hamas, and Hamas then taking care of his family and giving them the food they need.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, in the past few weeks, Israel has started giving out aid in a way that separates the aid from Hamas and makes sure the aid doesn't get to Hamas, which is in a way that with a private organization that is both joint, both by Israeli and U.S. Leadership, mm-hmm. and it's very secure. There is a private security that makes sure that Hamas isn't involved, and also the IDF makes sure the area mm-hmm. is secure, and only civilians can get aid from there. And that way is a way of giving aid that also doesn't give more power to Hamas and help them survive and keep it's waging its war against Israel. So I would say is the amount that Israel has done to give in humanitarian aid to a place that it's fighting against is absurd, how much Israel has spent and how much Israel is working in a way that is counterintuitive to how wars are thought about. And in wars, you fight. You don't, on one hand, fight and one hand mm-hmm. feed your enemy. But because there's a big value for human life, so Israel has decided to do the aid in a way that, like I said, helps the civilians get the aid without Hamas taking it over.
Myslíš si, že palestinskí občania vnímajú túto pomoc zo strany Izraela pozitívne?
It's hard to say. What I can say is that even if a lot of civilians now hate Hamas because Hamas is making them go through a hell lot of suffering, the fact that they hate Hamas doesn't mean that they in turn love Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they're so thankful about it, and I'm not sure if they should be, but I think that in their situation, I hope that they would understand that Israel doesn't have an interest in seeing them suffer, and Israel doesn't have an interest in their for them to starve. So I hope that, like I said before, that if they understand that and they understand that Israel is not an enemy for them as individuals, it's an enemy of Hamas, and if they understand that and understand that Israel wants them to focus on bettering their own lives instead of focusing on attacking Israelis and by that causing Israel mm-hmm. to attack them, then I would think a mindset change that would happen in for Gazans.
Keď sa pozrieme do histórie, vedel by si povedať, kde sa berie ten hnev zo strany Palestíny voči Židom?
To point exactly where the hate started is hard, because it was way before the country was established. So if I were to go to the root, I would say it's ideological, whether it's maybe ideological roots from the Muslim Brotherhood mm-hmm. or the aspiration for a unified Muslim state mm-hmm. or Ummah, as it's called, which is a belief that all Muslim states should be one and not no Iraq, Syria, Egypt, but one big Muslim Muslim Ummah. And I would say it's something that relates to that. It's not only people coming to the land and being against the more people moving into the land and mm-hmm. more people coming from diaspora and returning to their homeland. But there are also ideological sources to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ako by bolo najlepšie, keby sa situácia vyvíjala v najbližších dňoch, týždňoch, mesiacoch a rokoch? Tvoj osobný pohľad.
First of all, I don't know. That's mm-hmm. the first answer. I have no idea. I have no clue. In the long term, what I think we should aspire to and work towards is, first of all, having dialogue with whoever is willing to have dialogue, with whoever recognizes the right of Israel to exist, which is very mm-hmm. basic, but is not very mainstream or common in Palestinian thought. So to have dialogue, first of all. And second of all, I would say a very deep change needs to happen in Arab society, which recognizes, again, like I said, which comes to terms with the fact that Israel will continue to exist. And once they come to terms with the existence of Israel, then there could be conversation with pragmatic people on how we could solve it. And I don't care what solution that is if once that comes. But before that happens, and when it's still a war of trying to drive us out or go back to Europe, to go where European mm-hmm. colonizers, until that's not the case, I don't think there is a real chance for peace.
Mm-hmm. Aká je tvoja záverečná myšlienka z dnešnej relácie? Čo by si chcel našim divákom odkázať?
I would say that my message is something important is you don't have to be pro-Israel, you don't have to be pro-Palestine. You need to, in my opinion, it's best to, you don't even have to care, but to be cautious when listening to different news and making sure to diversify if you listen to the news and if you're following what's going on, to diversify where you listen to your news and not only be relying on one source or one side, and to really search for the truth. And searching for the truth is not pro-Palestine, it's not pro-Israel, it's about searching for the truth. And I believe that if someone searches for the truth, then he will find much more than if he just takes in whatever their side or the side that he agrees with feeds him.
Mm-hmm. Ďakujem za tvoj čas, za dnešný rozhovor. Prajeme veľa úspechov v osobnom živote, v rodine aj v armáde a tešíme sa do skorého videnia.
Thank you so much.
Sme radi, že ste s nami každý týždeň a sme vďační, že aj vďaka 20 minútovke ľudia poznávajú Boha, majú menené životy a prijímajú uzdravenie. Aj to možné len vďaka tomu, že tieto relácie podporujete, šírite a zdieľate a tak sa dostanú presne tam, kde sa majú dostať. Ste súčasťou a partnermi tohto projektu, za čo vám veľmi pekne ďakujeme. Prajeme vám, nech je váš pokrok zrejmý vo všetkom a nezabúdajte na to, že tie najlepšie dni sú stále iba pred vami.